Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Said this week with Bill Belichick, nobody has more fun playing football, it seems, than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And his Dolphins are going to have a fun ride home.
Oh, they will.
They close their first season under Brian Flores with a win today.
Yeah, I like Brian Flores a lot. I like Chad O'Shea. I like a lot of those guys.
Absolutely.
Patrick Graham. They, you know, we've had interactions with them. They've been nothing but class being around them. That team's headed in the right direction. They got the right guy running that ship. Good for Brian Flores. He had the team ready to go. And that's a tough thing to do late in the year on the road because you look at the rest of this league, their teams are just packing in by now. But Ted Johnson and I will be on from 10 to 2 tomorrow. We're gonna get after this one. I'd tune in at 10 tomorrow because I'm pissed.
Jerry, ready?
I'm ready, man.
You want to drive the bus?
Oh, I do not.
What?
I do not want to drive the bus.
I'll drive the bus.
Drive it,
you
brother.
You ain't driving crap, McCone, because you got no energy.
I'm ready. That sucked. People with energy. That's how I signed off that debacle, that travesty yesterday. There's the ending call right there. Bob Soucy, myself, as the Miami Dolphins, a team that you beat 43-0 in week two, came in and decided to test six players in a game against the number two seed with a team that's sitting there looking straight at a bye, and Brian Flores and his crew and everybody runs that, so we're going to take a look at a bunch of players, see if they're worth keeping around next year. Test game. Mm-hmm. Well, they passed the test. You failed. You fell flat on your face. I'm still sick about it. I didn't play in the game. I have nothing to do with that game. But I am somewhat invested. And if you can't tell, Ted Johnson's here. And Ted, we're not going to do that grab ass. Damn, Ted, you look good.
You think?
Ted, you work out. Like, every time you're in. We got to do like the 10-minute Ted Johnson.
Well, what gym do you go to, Ted? Oh, I go to one over here in Braves. I like it. It's got the free weights. It's got the old iron. You're pumping. You know? You have to sit there and stare at guys. Look at themselves in mirrors. We know you look good.
We don't have to do that.
Ted's in. He's physically fit.
I go to the gym. All right.
So he goes to the gym. That's done.
All right. Move on. You're sick about it, though, bud.
I'm disgusted.
Yep. I saw your tweets, man. I could tell. You were
I'm disgusted because it's been eight straight years since they've gone to an AFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Eight straight years they've gone to the AFC title game. I could sit here unequivocally on Monday after that horrific loss and say that game is in jeopardy, extreme jeopardy now. Because I think, you know, the path of least resistance, we talk about it all the time. In sports, this is one where now you have to look at it. I canceled ski reservations. Yeah, by the way, credit to Loon Mountain for refunding things. Like, now people change things now.
Yes.
Us everyday people, people who cover the team, regular Joe Schmoes who will never play again, who have no bearing whatsoever on the football field. Now everything's different. Imagine what it's like for the players that sat there and said,
mm-hmm.
Well, here's the game plan. We're going to go in against mm-hmm. a 4-12 team, a 4-12 team that we're 16.5-point favorites over because we're going to protect some guys and maybe use them as a decoy or – maybe we could just get out there and do certain things. That game reminded me of that freaking Steven Jackson game a little bit down in Miami where we're going to be hard-headed. We're fine. We got health. We'll go on a road and beat anybody. I don't know if they could beat anybody. But now they got a tough opponent in Tennessee coming in here Saturday night. We'll get to all the playoff pairings and seedings and all that and when the games are. Now you're on a short week. Now you get a crunch. Mm-hmm. Now you got another ex-coach, right, coming in here saying, we're going to kick your ass because we know you and we kicked your ass last year. What's your number one takeaway from that game?
It was shocking to me, Zoe, that spot, that team would come out and play as flat as they did. I mean, it was just – you just never would pick against the Patriots in that spot, considering what was on the line at home against an inferior opponent. I never saw that coming. And shame on me. I mean, we all know that – I mean, Fitzpatrick – he has those games in him. I mean, he has a game. He has these games where
I've called it against him. Yep, he's streaky. He's streaky.
So streaky. But my goodness, with everything that was on the line, you know how much they covet the first round bye at home. It was just a shocker to see the offense, particularly play the way it did, based on last week's performance against the Buffalo Bills. You thought maybe okay, they might be quite as in sync as they were against Buffalo, but to be completely looked differently than they did against that Buffalo team is shocking to me. And I think maybe more shocking is just the defense too. The defense that has carried this team all season long to go out there and give up 320 yards passing
right
to a journeyman quarterback at the age of 37.
Right.
Didn't see it coming.
What's the name of the running back, Ted? What's the name of the running back from yesterday?
Remember, I just know his number is 42.
Yeah.
That's all
White
I know.
White guy 42 running the ball number in the middle. 42. That's that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Who's the left tackle? Oh, they traded him away. Don't worry about that. Hey, did you like that play Minkah Fitzpatrick had on Edelman coming down? No. He got traded to the Steelers, right?
I can tell you one guy.
How about Xavier Howard, who usually picks off Brady twice a game? How's that?
Yep.
No! You got picked off by Eric freaking Rowe!
Yep.
Eric Rowe! I mean, it's – don't call today and bitch about your offense. You want to bitch today – your offense had gave you a 4-point lead with 3 minutes and change left, and you put the number one defense in the league out there against that journeyman quarterback that Ted talked about. And they didn't have to go 75 yards. They didn't have to go 75 yards for a field goal. They didn't get a touchdown to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a third down in that series? I think there was one.
One or two, maybe.
I think Albert Wilson caught one in front of J.C. Jackson on a drag. But I got to go back to the play sheet. I don't care what it was. I knew that they were going to score the second. Parker elevated and got that one down inside the 30 because half the field was gone in a matter of one play.
Yeah.
But
were you as surprised as I was that they continued to blitz and pressure and leave those corners kind of on an island a little bit?
I don't think they blitzed enough.
You thought they should have blitzed more?
I thought they should have blitzed more. I thought it was too vanilla.
Okay.
I thought defensively it was too vanilla. Now, Wilson's good. We know he's fast, but, I mean, Stephon Gilmore, defensive player of the year talk, right?
Yep.
He should negate him. He should negate Parker every day, every time. Parker had himself a field day yesterday.
Oh.
Now, that could be just
unreal.
One of those games, and we saw it last year with Gilmore in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Davis got him. You know, mm-hmm. Guys will get them. There are good players in this league. But, like, that's the one thing you could count on. I mean, they couldn't get to Fitzpatrick and bring him down and sack him. They had a couple here and there.
But you got to admit, I mean, the execution and the game plan that they had, Zoe, I think it was more about the execution, that the ball came out fast. It was on time. I mean, and they were killing them. They were beating the Patriots at their own game. Death by a thousand paper cuts, dink and dunk, slant routes, ball coming out fast.
That's zone, because you're in zone. Why are we in zone? Why not make things more complicated for a quarterback, a journeyman quarterback, to throw it into tight windows against man?
Mm-hmm.
Because zone. I'll just wait for a hole, and this guy's played enough mm-hmm. football to know, okay, I'll wait for this hole or that hole, and I'm going to just throw it right in the middle. And he's a dart thrower.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's got a good arm. He's not a bum. No, I think Josh Allen's a bum. I just think he's big, lopey, and dopey. This kid's a smart kid. And he's got a decent enough arm to function in the league. That's a good, good bridge guy for that team.
Yeah, very good.
And he kept that team together. Talked to Brian Flores a while before the game about him. And it's like, he's done a great job for us. Now, he doesn't know if he's going to be his guy. Probably not, obviously. He goes, but damn, we got a ton of picks.
One thing about Fitzpatrick I always kind of notice, though. I don't know. You might disagree. But I always feel like Fitzpatrick plays out of his mind when he has no pressure on him. Like, if he doesn't have to be the guy, if he can be the backup,
yes,
fill-in,
yeah,
bridge, the mentor.
It's a good point.
It's always like, he'll go out there, you got nothing to really
lose. He was in Tampa when Winston had his issues.
He was down in Houston backing up whoever they had. I mean, he's always been the bridge guy, right, and he always performs better. But when he's asked to kind of carry the load, that's when Ryan Fitzpatrick has, I think, his issues. When he can just kind of like, you know, hey, there's no pressure. We've only won four games. We're going nowhere. Go out there and just have fun. That's where he always has his best games, it seems like.
Yeah. So
he was a killer yesterday.
We're going to do 4 hours of this game from yesterday.
There's so much to get into. We got a lot to get to.
Today is Monday, which means it's Black Monday in the National Football League.
Yep.
We'll get to the job openings, the head coaching opportunities.
No surprise.
Team has already requested to talk to Josh McDaniels. We'll tell you which team that is. The quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Tom Brady. Because I noticed something in the pregame. Then I noticed something in the third and fourth quarter that I haven't seen in any of the other games this year.
Sure.
So it's Meathead Radio. We're already loaded up. McCone's got the headlines. He's going to talk quick at the top and bottom of the hour and not do anything else the rest of the show. 617-779-0985. Suck it.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Low snap as Tom circles back in the pocket. Three-man rush, so he's got time to load up. He pumps and he throws across the middle for Edelman. Double team.
Cover.
It's incomplete.
Perfect coverage. Great coverage by Miami. Sanu's locked up on a deep one. Dorsett's locked up deep to the left, and Edelman is doubled. This is the recipe to beat New England. You double Edelman, and you play man outside, and you negate everybody else, and you got nothing.
The hell's this crap? All I need is a miracle. All I need is you. Not really. We're not there yet.
Gonna need a miracle to get to the Super Bowl, I think, man. Not gonna be easy.
Yeah, man, you gotta rip three games off. Two will be on the road.
It was gonna be hard enough hosting a division game against a top team like Kansas City, which is what we're expecting is if they win this game against Tennessee, is that they'll host, they were going to host if they would have won this game. It was not going to be an easy path to the Super Bowl regardless. Now it's a daunting task that they have in front of them.
See, I think Flores did a good job playing some more man because he knew that probably their outside guys can't beat the man stuff that they call. Mm-hmm. We all know Edelman can. Did you feel that Edelman was doubled most of that game?
He was most of the game, yes.
And it started with Romeo Crennel down in Houston.
So,
man.
I mean, I'm sitting here going, how do these other teams, these first nine teams that the Patriots played, not figure out to double team Edelman?
Well, they're figuring it out.
Well, at least in two situations, third down and red zone. And then, of course, they go play rack, and these defense coordinator for the Texans, he does it. And then now everybody's like, oh, okay, that's what we should do. Well, no kidding. So you're absolutely right. They double teamed Edelman a lot yesterday, and so it forces Tom to go elsewhere. And there's just not a lot of options.
All right, let's get a couple of your calls in. Thanks for holding. 617-779-0985. We'll get to Brady in a second. Let's go to Adam in a car. You're up first. What do you got, Adam?
Hey, guys. I really don't want to hear Belichick called a defensive genius for a while now because, I mean, after seeing – you're not going to change it up at all. We're getting shredded. Hey, Bill, do you think we should change it up? No. I think this is going fine. And on top of that, hey, how about we call some timeouts at the end, maybe give Brady a shot? No. We'll keep it as it's going. I think it's looking good so far. And unrelated, what's with this kid's mullet? It was bothering me the entire time. Thanks, guys.
What? Who had the mullet? Anybody remember, you know, who had the,
who's he talking about, McCone? You know mullets.
I have no idea.
Got to be Belichick's son.
Oh, Steve.
Oh,
yeah.
Steve.
Oh. No, he doesn't have a mullet. He actually got a haircut. I mean, he used to sport a mullet. Somewhat, but it was just long hair. I'm not going to talk about his hair, but let's talk about the timeouts before the end of the half. You have a problem with that? Minute 40? You got the ball.
Head scratcher.
Minute 40 and three timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill's answer in the post game is the coach, why didn't use it? He goes, well, if we would have got a first down, we would have used the timeouts. Do you know what the first play call was?
I do. It was a dive right up the middle.
Do you know what the formation was? Do you know the personnel group?
Two tight ends.
They signaled right there.
Basically, hey, we're going to run the ball.
We're going to run it.
Right here, this A-gap right here. We're going to bring in personnel. You'll know.
So, I mean, I've gone back and forth on this. Obviously, you know, I didn't think you had enough possessions in the first half. If you had 10 possessions and you threw three picks or you fumbled and it's punter, it's three and out, I can see us sitting on it and saying, you know what, we're going to go in, we're going to regroup, we're okay, it's 10-10. You know, we've sort of evened things out. Let's make our adjustments and get the hell out of here. Because there have been other years I've called games for this team, successful years, years where they've gone to the Super Bowl, where they were like out in Denver. Get the ball, and it's the perfect defer game. This is why you guys always deferred, right? We're going to defer to try to set up the good old double score somewhere around the middle of the game there. And
the
if it works eight. Out, it works out.
The middle
right?
eight, last four,
yeah,
first four.
Yeah. So it's set up perfectly. And I remember being out in Denver. Same thing, same setup. Take a knee, go in. So I'm thinking, okay, so it's got to be either a message to the offense that was dog bleep. Yep. I don't want to see it anymore. Or go back to last week. Refresh my memory if I'm correct here. They tried to do something before the end of the first
they
half
did.
Against Buffalo.
Sure did.
Buffalo sort of threw the Hail Mary, and he had that chunk throw over top Chung again against the tight end. Mm. And credit Chad O'Shea for looking at this, saying, okay, if Chung's going to be on Gesicki all day, I'm shocked they didn't throw it to Gesicki more because he's a 6'6" guy. Yeah. Go up and get it.
Yeah.
He's the guy who caught the game winner.
Yep.
But watch what you wish for, because last week they didn't take him enough time. They screwed it up. And Buffalo had a chance here. Mm-hmm. You were kicking Buffalo's ass last week. Buffalo got that touchdown right before the end of the half.
Sure did.
Which almost killed
him.
Pick your poison. Yeah.
But
it's Brady, and you would trust his decision-making. But to my Brady point, and maybe Bill knew it too, and maybe Tom knew it, that it wasn't his day.
You could tell?
You see his
did
shoes?
You say something in warm-up?
You see his shoes?
I didn't.
Remember the old, you used to wear Nike, right?
I did. I sure did.
Remember the old Nike basketball shoe high top? Wet rat ones and all that?
Sure, of course. Belanis, George Belanis.
Tom? Yeah, Georgie. Our old Nike rep. Tom is so specific as to what he does as far as a creature habit. And he's a type A. He likes things his way. And you remember all this stuff from Deflategate? Like, I need things perfect.
We're all that way.
So we've been through 15 games this year. All of a sudden, he's going to roll out a pair of white basketball shoes.
You noticed that, huh?
Right away in warm-ups he came out. I'm like, okay. Maybe it's a new Under Armour shoe that's lighter that he likes. Or maybe it's a wider shoe that helps the foot so you can pad up the foot a little more. And maybe something's going on there. So a lot of people talk about Brady flexing the elbow for the last 2 weeks, and he's been on the injury report with the elbow. And the more and more I watch him, third quarter, fourth quarter, he's not standing up throwing the ball to Stidham. He's standing up without Stidham. And he's running sprints in front of the defensive bench while they're out on the field.
I saw that. I saw him doing that, yes.
I haven't seen him do that in 20 years.
Yeah. Like warming up his body.
You're trying to get something.
A lower extremity going.
I think something's going on with the quarterback's lower body.
Interesting. Okay.
So you want to ask me, why is he high on a Dorsett throw? Everybody's like, oh, the elbow. And Bill in postgame, got to ask Tom. Tom said, no, I'm all right.
Yeah, he wasn't on the injury report this week.
But it doesn't mean something didn't happen during the game or somebody fell on him and he got rolled.
That's true.
It's affecting his ability to step and get through the ball. It's like a golf swing. You play golf, you know how everything needs to be in line. And I think with this guy, everything does need to be in line. So it's something to watch here moving forward if he's going to be an injury report this week,
I mean,
on a short week.
It's almost like I'd feel better if there was something going on with him, because how do you explain the way he played last week against the Buffalo Bills versus this week? I mean, it was just a night and day. It was very similar to kind of how he played against the Cincinnati Bengals 3 weeks ago with a lot of balls that were high and just – out of reach for a lot of guys to catch the ball. So his accuracy came back. Issues came back this week. I don't know. It's, you know, you'd like to think there's something physically going on to explain it away. I just don't know. Zoe, you would know better than me, seeing, watching his mechanics. You do see him, I think, more. I would think as far as just a little bit of off the back foot. I feel like there is a...
The throw to Dorsett off the back foot.
It was. Yeah. It just where he's feeling pressure. He's not stepping into the ball. And I'm not going to lie. If I was CJ's, I would be a little bit more apprehensive to really fully step and transfer that weight to that front foot like maybe you're supposed to when you got guys barreling down on you.
Dude, he got croaked.
20 years of he got croaked playing football.
He got croaked on a three-man protection. They rushed three one time. Cannon on the right
side.
Where'd
he go?
They picked Tom up. They slam him on that left shoulder, too. So I'm like... You're struggling to block three right now. Paul in the car wants to get into end of the first half. What do you got, Paul?
Bill?
Hey!
I didn't say the car. Bill?
Well, where are you?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Brain tree.
Okay, bud. Right
about the speaker. I got to do it real quick. I was about to talk about the same thing. All I could think about at the beginning of the first half, at the end of the first half, was what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't get it. What are you doing? I don't care. Throw Stidham in there then. if you can't do it. That's all I got to say.
I don't think that had anything to do with the quarterback. Maybe it was with the play call.
Really? So you don't think it was Bill saying, Tom, I don't, you know what, Tom, sit this one out. Because when you talk about, like, he didn't have faith in the offense. You know what? The offense is Tom Brady. So I feel like it's like you're saying you don't have faith in Tom right there. I mean, he did throw a pick six. And so he maybe was not really playing, the ball wasn't where it needed to be at times. I get that. But the last two possessions before that possession, before the half, they did score 10 points. So they were starting to figure it out. And for him to squat on the ball, I think it's inexcusable. It's really difficult for me to kind of sit there and totally understand his rationale for not calling those timeouts right there. Every point is coveted at this point. You're in a tie game, and to not use those timeouts and that.
Didn't it seem like they were running the ball hard enough to where you could attempt some sort of a play action where get the tight end going on a little bender?
Yeah.
Like, they don't have great cover guys. Safeties aren't that good. Linebackers definitely aren't that good. This should have been a game where we could actually get some tight end production. It's been trending that way. We just throw one ball to Watson. Was it right?
One ball. So it's very difficult for me to quite understand why he was doing that. Look, it's Tom Brady. I know the offense maybe was sputtering, wasn't like the way you wanted it, but it's Tom freaking Brady. Give him a chance on your own 25-yard line with it. Look, if you're not going to call a timeout after their third down, and you're going to let it run down as they punt the ball, that's fine. You still get the ball on your 25-yard line with 50 seconds and two timeouts. That's enough time to go down and score 3 points. And to just dismiss that opportunity, it makes no sense. And the only thing I can think of, Zoe, is that's kind of Bill's way of saying to Tom, all right, man, you know what? Really? This is, you're not playing the way I want you to. Or,
if we would have gotten a first down, I would have used the timeout.
Yeah.
So put it on a running back.
That's a tough one to swallow, because this one, and you were wondering if that was going to come back to bite you in the butt, and obviously they lose.
Oh, that three. That three, you could have used that three at the end of the game, huh?
And so, if you're a player on that team, there's got to be a little bit of a head-scratching. Like, I think he blew an opportunity to get his team some points right there. I mean, Tom, okay, yes, the offense wasn't playing great maybe at that time, but it's Tom freaking Brady who's done it time after time after time, driven his team down in 2 minutes. So, you know what people used to ask me all the time about? When did you know Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady? And, it's like, I'll be honest. When, his rookie year, going into his second year in 2001, it wasn't like anything just completely jumped out at you, like his arm strength or his mobility, right? It wasn't that. But it was what you would see a lot of times he would do in practice. It was, he was so methodical whenever they would have – have you guys do the 2-minute offense.
Right.
Drew would get his chance with the ones to, move the ball. And then Tom with the twos would get his chance to move the ball. And it was like, dink, boom, 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 precision. Tom would always move that second unit down the field with efficiency and with a high level of success. And I was like, that's what makes him so good, is how he executes in that 2-minute offense. That's what he's been so good at above far and away everyone else, is in that 2-minute drill. And to not give him that opportunity to try and score points before the half, regardless of how he was playing, to me is a shame. It really is. Because I think they could have moved the ball on that defense in that situation, because Tom's done it time after time after time.
See, and you mentioned that type of situation. You and I both played with a guy by the name of Troy Brown, who was sort of that stick mover. He would get the drive going, and Parcells would always be like, let's go, give me the first call, the 2-minute. And it would be called a drive starter. It'd either be a screen, or it would be a quick slant, or just a spot route.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would get to the next guy, and you would build it. Okay, they've had that guy in Walker. They had a deep guy in Moss. They have it in Edelman. They have it in White. After that, here's your problem. They double Edelman. They go sub. You would come out nickel here at the end of that first half. You elect to go sub. Guess what they're going to do? They're gonna combat it with nickel or dime. Mm-hmm. And guess who they're doubling? They're doubling Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Is your pass protection good enough to where you can free release James White every time? No, James White ended up chipping the rest of the whole damn game. Even at the end of the game, when you're trying to get back with 24 seconds left, a Hail Mary, he's in there chipping because your protection is such an issue up front. Do you trust Sanu? Do you trust Harry? Do you trust Dorsett to run the right routes? You remember those videos of Brady and Bledsoe on the sidelines? What do you like? I like sticks. I like tosser. I like this. I don't know if Brady could give you three routes he likes right now that those other three, other than Edelman, could run.
So you're saying that maybe just
the personnel, I think, is a big problem.
So they can't even maybe execute the 2-minute drill.
Because you could say, well, then get Barkhead and White on the field at the same time. White and Barkhead on the field at the same time is different in first down at your own 40.
Yeah.
In the middle of a game.
Yeah.
White and Barkhead on the field at first down with 80 yards to go with under 2 minutes and no timeouts is not an ideal personnel group. We'll get to all this next. And we'll get to Mohamed Sanu. I want to get into him next. I want Ted's opinion of the second round pick that was given up for this guy and how productive he's been and what he gives you in this 2019 Patriots offense. Here's McCone with sub-headline.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Offset eye formation as Brady drops back, throws it across the middle, and a drop by Sanu.
Wake up!
He's shoved to the turf. Were they hit by the Dolphins' defensive back, Nate Brooks, adding the insult to the
draw. I'm sorry. You got to read blitz here. You're the underneath drag route. You, in essence, become the hot route. The distant safety is coming down on you. You see the backer vacate. Landon Roberts cuts his legs out. Brady hangs in, gets hit, delivers it right into your hands, and you drop another hot route underneath. That's not worth the second-round pick to me. I mean, it's Bob and I yesterday on a key underneath throw.
Yep.
On third, and the lack of urgency from Sanu, or the understanding, and this goes back weeks to where, okay, you're reaching, you're short of a first down. Remember the what was that, Tom? Was that Buffalo? Where he reached, but he wasn't short, and he got out of bounds instead of really extending and getting it to the sticks. Like yesterday,
he missed that key block on fourth down of the jet sweep.
Yeah.
With Nikhil Harry versus Buffalo.
Like, okay, so the jet sweep's coming. Okay, maybe I'm not involved in this play. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything. You're the key block.
Where does Sony Michel run? Usually backside, squirts out. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm the off receiver to the left. He's not coming my way. Oh, bull crap.
He's going to cut it back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is pertinent that these receivers block here. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And the one for me yesterday that killed me was a 3rd and 4. He ended up catching the ball with one hand in his left hand on a little quick out.
It was a really nice catch.
They brought him in motion. They bring him in motion so he doesn't get jammed at the line of scrimmage to help the guy get upfield. A free release. Thank you, Ted. And he runs a freaking 1-yard route.
Yeah. It was sticks. We needed 2?
4.
Okay.
1-yard route at a 3rd and 4. Made the catch. Hell of a catch. That's one for the highlight tape. I'm the color guy on the radio, and I'm upset about it.
Yeah.
What the hell is Josh McDaniels?
What's he saying?
What the hell is Brady?
Yeah.
Like, the Baltimore game, you saw something from Sanu. At least, okay, that's a guy Brady can trust, a pro-style receiver. He's going to go to him.
10 catches?
Caught it. But then, you know, he finally catches one at the end of the game to set up the last touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's more of what we need, not the sideline stuff. We need the vertical presence.
Those
the
deep
lack
overs.
Of,
and
you don't have Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. You don't have a seam runner. You don't have a deep overrunner. You don't have a, hey, can you read zone? Okay, it's Robert. Can we go sit 20 yards, stop and curl? You know, that Deion Branch bang route. Mm-hmm. You don't have any of that. It's frustrating. I know the quarterback's frustrated by it, but not a great day by Sanu yesterday.
Do you think zone? Okay, so here's a guy that comes in middle of the season. He's traded, you know, obviously from Atlanta. Comes in, and do you have there's two things that I maybe can throw out there, and I'm not suggesting it's one of these things.
You want double egg?
I'm good. That smells fantastic, too, by the way. I'm good. Go ahead.
I watched Diners and Drive-Ins last night.
Great show.
I couldn't go to bed.
I can't get enough of that game, show. Yeah.
And they made deviled eggs.
Yeah.
And I said, I can make them at work.
You made deviled eggs after you saw that show?
I made deviled eggs just during the break.
My man. Just during the break. Okay, excellent.
Oh, good.
Maybe I'll get one after the break. And I forgot my point.
Of course you did.
Okay, so, but here's two things that maybe you look at Mohamed Sanu that maybe is going on. One, he's the more they put on his plate, the less effective he is, right? And maybe when he first got here in that Baltimore game, he had 10 catches because they kept it very basic
right.
for him. So, okay, that's one. And they always say how advanced the system is, and you know it is, and it's very difficult.
Ted, he's your punt returner right now, which is odd.
He's averaging 5.5 per. That's not good. But and the next thing is there maybe questions with buy-in. Is he not happy with his role? Is he not fully
engaged?
I don't either. I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, and I think you've been through this. A lot of players have been through it where you deal with an injury here, then you deal with injuries differently at other places.
I do underestimate the impact of an injury.
He had an high ankle sprain, right? Got hurt. Returning a punt. He's not a very good punt returner.
Well, he's
returned the punt in that Eagles game. And he's been nursing that sucker every week.
Okay.
And it just doesn't look like he could cut a certain way to the right. And it was very evident in that Houston game. He couldn't run away from guys. So I laid off because the guy's probably more hurt than we know.
Right.
Because they protect injuries and not protect injuries, but they don't give you a lot of information.
And it's tough because we judge.
And I said unfairly to players, we criticize them not fully understanding the percentage of how hurt they actually are.
Very true.
Because you know Edelman's banged up, but good to go.
Yep.
Brady yesterday. You good, Tom? Good to go. I think Brady's dealing with something.
Mm-hmm.
And Sanu probably is dealing with something. So juggle all that stuff when you think about these guys. Let's go to Corey. Corey up next on the Sports Hub. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. In regards to the end of the first half, I was just curious to see if you guys thought, the thing I could think of is if they could have been afraid of committing another turnover in that portion of the field.
Sure.
And giving them a quick three going into the second half.
I don't know how banged up they were on offense. And I go back to last week where it burned them trying to do that against Buffalo, and Buffalo got right back into that game quickly.
I guess I think the hardest thing for me, it's like it's Tom Brady. It's not Stid Muffin back there. It's not, a young, unproven, quarterback. It's Tom. And you just, if you're going to trust anybody in that situation.
Who's going to make the right decision and not throw the pick, Tom.
Right.
It's
just 50 seconds, two timeouts on your own 25. That is a ton of time and, to get the ball down the field, it's shocking to me that that Bill would do that because it was a blatant message to the offense and to Tom that we don't trust you. And so that's the one thing you worry about. And I don't know. The collective confidence is something that I think is a tricky thing. It can come up and go down. And if your head coach doesn't believe in your offense, I worry that could have a bit of a mark and leave a little bit of a mark or have an effect on this offense moving forward. It would have been a perfect time to go down, score 3 points, build some momentum, and give yourself some confidence going in. I get the risk is that you're going to turn the ball over. But I would have taken my chances with Tom Brady pulling the trigger. I just would have right there. And when you need all the points you can get to secure a first-round bye, a first-round bye, which we know is probably the difference between them maybe having a Super Bowl appearance or not, then you have them do it. I don't think you play conservative and kneel down like you did or run the clock out like you did and be happy with getting out of there without turning the ball over and taking a chance. And it was interesting. So they run those first two plays. They run, dive, and then off tackle, and then they try and get it a first down on third down. Oh, no, they run the clock out. Excuse me. They run two plays, and then they run the clock out. The first two plays to start the second half were runs.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking,
boy, what an adjustment, huh?
Bill went to Josh and was like, run the damn ball.
I got a Bob. I go, holy crap. They got two tights again.
Ball. Right. It was just, obviously to me, Bill, it told me that Bill wasn't happy with the passing game and in particular how Tom was throwing the ball.
All right. Let's go to Paul up in New Hampshire. What's up, Paul? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. I hope you guys had a good holiday season and Happy New Year and all that crap.
Oh, yesterday made it was a capper. What a great week.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to – it's a team sport, but I think Tom Brady, like you said, Joel, something's wrong with him. He couldn't hit the side of a barn. I mean, his passes were too long, too short. There was nothing there. And the coaching was just as bad. I mean, they couldn't. Like last week when they did the
streak. Paul, bottom line, extremely inactive, especially in that first half.
Well,
they got
funny?
The team in the end zone with a 4-point lead to put your number one defense out there to prevent them from driving it 75 yards.
Yep.
They didn't need a field goal. They needed a touchdown.
Last week you heard Bill Belichick, we operated on all phases. We ran the ball. We threw the ball. We did everything. They did. And then they come in this. It's the total opposite. The coaching, at least Belichick can say, hey, but Tom's always me. Oh, not me. We. He never says, I really suck today. I should have thrown the ball better. I should have Belichick at least can say, on all phases, even me, my coaching was terrible. But why can't Brady do that? You know?
Well, I think he does because he keeps it in general, you know?
I don't know. And I think there's more going on, like you said. Yeah. And I don't think he's happy where he's at. I think he wishes he had more tools.
He was happy last week. Paul, he had 80% of his passes last week, and he looked like a pick in the mud Friday in his press conference.
What happened?
They got their ass kicked yesterday. All right, Paul.
All right, thank you for taking my call.
See you, buddy.
Happy New
It was interesting, the point that Bert Breer brought up yesterday in the postgame show where he talked about... He's still making the point now. If he was here, he'd still be making the point. But Bert said, it was a good one, though. Chad O'Shea, the offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, who used to be on the staff here, mm-hmm. the Patriots, that had to be a pretty satisfying win for him in particular.
It's a resume builder for him.
Big time.
I said that in pregame. I said, this is a big game for Chad O'Shea.
Man, yeah. it was, you know, word is that he was maybe passed up for a promotion here. And so he let his contract run out. So he went down there and to kind of put, you know, a game plan together with everything that was on the line for the Patriots to have a game-winning drive where you just kind of methodically sliced up that defense. For Chad O'Shea, that was probably one of those under-the-radar storylines where you go, that guy probably really was feeling himself based on his history here and being overlooked and then going there and putting that drive together. That had to be a satisfying feeling for that guy.
All right, it's Meathead Radio. We'll get some more calls next. If you can't get through, keep calling 617-779-0985.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody. Well, it was a great chance for us to not play next week. So, and we didn't take advantage of it. We just didn't play good enough. And, you know, we all wish we'd have done a better job. Certainly I do.
Tom Brady post-game yesterday.
Hold himself accountable there a little bit. You know, I got to play better.
Now you got to we've had byes before, and you just know how much you look forward to that week off because you know you're going to get thrown a bone. You don't know if you're going to get 3 to 5 days off, but remember the 1 year Kansas City got 7 days off? Andy Reid stupidly gave him all 7 days, and then Pittsburgh beat him. It was great.
God.
Boy, then you got to deal with those a-holes trolling you after their win.
The Chiefs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, Andy Reid. Hey, let's give a shout-out to the Dolphins. Woo!
Oh, yeah,
we'll get to some of the sound.
Yep. Put that in the memory bank.
You got the mayor of Kansas City sending ribs to the mayor of Miami.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They'll never learn. They'll never learn, will they,
Because they won so much out there. You know?
Oh, wow. Right. Well, hopefully they get a chance to, pay him back. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be an easy game against Tennessee.
All right, let's get to Sharon in Longmeadow. She's been on hold for a while.
Morning, you guys.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, you know, about the end of the half where we didn't have timeouts, I would trust Brady with one leg and no arms. But aside from that, the defense was terrible. Why were they doing zone when we're so good at man-to-man?
Good question. Very vanilla.
I think the coaching was terrible, both sides. I'm not going to put the whole blame on Brady.
Or
Sanu, even, for that matter.
I put this on your defense.
Pardon?
You scored 24 points against a 4-12 team at home, final week of the year, and you got the number one defense in the league. That should be enough to win at home.
Mm-hmm.
They had to drive it 75 yards, and they went right down like a knife through butter.
Right. I was sick watching the game. I couldn't believe the defense. Where were they?
I'm still sick, Sharon, and thank you for the call.
How good is this defense, though? I'm trying to figure out. Now they're
very good. They're a very good defense.
Yeah.
They're a product, I think, of who they played and the state of the National Football League now.
Right.
I don't think they're the Bears of 86.
But sure looked like it at the beginning.
They're
though.
Not the Baltimore Ravens of 2000.
Right. Are they the 2004?
Well, you played on that defense. I didn't.
Yeah, no, it was – they're as far as points allowed, they're the best defense in the history of Bill Belichick, I think, maybe in the history of the Patriots as far as just points allowed. But, you know, they let's face it, they had a soft schedule early on.
Yeah.
It's still impressive what this defense was able to do. But if you were to say before the game, that you had a chance to win that game by putting your defense out there. All you had to do was keep them out of the end zone. They got to go 2.5 minutes, 75 yards, and I forget how many timeouts. I think they had 2 timeouts. You would probably bet on the Patriots defense.
I think they kept one in the pocket, too. They didn't even need to burn all their timeouts.
Right.
Flo had to run down, just call timeout, just settle them down. Like, let's make sure we get this right. Good job by Brian Flores.
You know, it was I was watching the game with Matt Castle, and he brought up a good point.
Real quick here? Yeah. You guys wear those little suits up there on TV.
Is it too much?
You look like freaking Buzz Lightyear, and he looks like Woody.
Is that right?
He looks like Toy Story. Doesn't look like the Toy Story character. He's got that long face.
He does.
Hey, hottie, hey.
And he's dresses impeccably, too. It's just, really? He has that body type where it's like everything fits him perfectly.
Idiot.
You know? Yeah. I got this Cro-Magnon man forehead and these big traps. And
it's like when Vincent Brown used to wear a suit.
Oh, the Undertaker.
You guys got muscles in your forehead.
He does. Muscles on top of muscles.
Let's go to my man, Kenny G, down in Atlanta, see if he pissed himself. What's up, Kenny?
Man, listen, sir, I'm still holding it today. Hey, listen, y'all have excellent, you stole all my thunder. That is so disappointing. Like you said, before half is so, Bill Belichick is the genius, but like you said, did he, you know, what is it, spite your face to spite you? Like, what did he, why would you do that before the half? At all. And I just want to say so much I love you. Hey, Mr. Johnson, it's a pleasure to speak to you on the line. Loved you as a player. Love you as what you're doing, commentating. Keep doing that. Love y'all guys. I'm just going to listen. I just wanted to chime and say Happy New Year to you. And let's see what we can do against these Titans.
All right, Kenny, see you, buddy.
Kenny, man. Thank you very, very much.
Nice. Likes Ted. Wow. Nice.
Very, very nice.
Nice.
I went to the bathroom and I'm holding it.
He was last week. He held his bathroom all day.
Still holding it. Still holding it. Yeah, that's a head scratcher. That's one of those decisions that you are going to question, and I think rightfully so. The not calling the timeouts, the not taking that seriously, not really. Mm. I mean, a lot of times what teams will do is when they get the ball in that 2-minute situation is they'll run the ball or draw or screen and see if they can pop a big one, and then okay, all right, we got 10, 15 yards. All right, maybe we got something, and then they start going. But before that, the fact he didn't call a timeout after their third down possession and just let the clock drip for a minute.
As active as New England's front is, and they substitute so much to where you really don't get stuck where you got Shelton, Guy, Butler, you know what I'm saying, all bigs and, you know, slow Mike Backer, slow Sam Backer. Mm-hmm. They're all active. I was shocked how well designed the Miami screens were, where they had 4 and 5 guys out there to block one. Like, there was nobody at home. They couldn't read screen. Couldn't read screen one time. That's a credit to Chad O'Shea. Okay, top of the hour, McCone Hub headline, and on the other side, why the Patriots were stupid.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.